Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty.
Rooted in substance, not flash. Rooted in substance. Today, we talk with our pads.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
You're dumping your head on it, right? Every moment.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Monday on Danny and Dusty. We're thankful. We're grateful that you're here. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM The Fan, watching on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. USA, USA,
USA.
LeBron James is LeBron James. And Germany was trying to rewrite world history and knock off USA here late. The 39-year-old LeBron James has said, give me the ball and get out of the damn way, and absolutely took over in the final couple minutes. The U.S. is now up 4 with 45 seconds to go.
He said 9.
Is that what he said? Is that what he did?
Yeah.
He did that.
He did.
So much for Joel Embiid's quotes to, what was it? The New York Times and Athletic that he did his interview with. Did you see that?
No.
It was, he said a lot, including Subway has the best cheesesteaks because he doesn't eat cheesesteaks. I think he endorses Subway, though. So I think he may have had to say that. But he also said that you could just look at LeBron, you could tell he's not the same player that he once was. He's a step slower, which,
yeah,
because he's not 25 anymore. He's damn near 40 years old. But guess who's been carrying this team when it matters the most in the last two games? LeBron and LeBron.
He literally just dribbled the ball.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry. Al-Farouq Aminu did that all the time.
Yeah. The thing here is he gets to play like Draymond Green for three quarters, and in the fourth quarter, he has energy because he hasn't had to backpack the entire Los Angeles Lakers decrepit franchise.
Yes.
So
yes,
that's the thing. Speaking of transitions, while LeBron James continues to, I don't know, transform on all of the drugs. What?
Whoa.
Was that out loud? My bad. My brain. just the connection happens. I firmly believe, and maybe this is some Pac-12 arrogance.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is not prepared for the level of quarterback play that is going to come into their conference with the introduction of USC, Oregon, UW, UCLA. Say what you want about UW post Caleb DeBoer, but with the exception of Ohio State, that conference does not know what quarterback play is, and that is shown really for the past 20 years.
I think right now it's kind of highlighted because of the fact that if you look at just the landscape of college football the way that it is mm-hmm. right now, you have got these major transitions that are happening. And look, Michigan has had their runs where they've had great quarterback play. Ohio State, and look, this isn't a conversation about NFL-style quarterback. Ohio State has phenomenal college quarterbacks. The next level, we can have those conversations. Well, CJ Stroud looks pretty damn good for the Houston Texans right now. But as a whole, your point is true about the Big Ten and the quarterback play there. It's not that Washington, USC, Oregon, and especially UCLA, it's not that they don't have their question marks, because they do at quarterback, because all of them are breaking in new guys, mm-hmm. with the exception of UCLA. And that is a massive question mark as to whether or not they can turn the corner and get stable quarterback play. But just look down the list of quarterbacks in the conference from the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And you go alongside the weapons that are around them. If you were to take last year's Big Ten and you take the new additions out of it, your top quarterbacks would be somewhere looking like Will Howard at Ohio State, who was playing at Kansas State just a year ago. Drew Aller at Penn State. Boy, who would you put as probably Tyler Van Dyke, the Wisconsin quarterback, would be your third best quarterback in the conference. And then you have Alex Orgie or Aiden Childs, who is a transfer from the Pac-12 as your top five quarterbacks in the league this year. Now, with the additions of USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington, I think if you look at the top five quarterbacks in the league, you will go Dylan Gabriel because of the body of work, the weapons that are around him, the system that he's entering comparative to the two systems that he's played in before, with the ease that Will Stein in that system will have to Dylan Gabriel's skill set, is probably the best quarterback in the country. Then you add Will Howard would probably be number two. And then at number three, it's a crapshoot, because as I said this earlier, Drew Aller at Penn State, when you take out the Michigan and Ohio State games, he was actually pretty damn good. The fact of the matter is, he was atrocious against the two best teams that he played.
And not like, oh, you can see it. It was some of the worst quarterback play you had seen stuff.
Okay, this is the stat on Aller that I just pulled up here. His completion percentage was 45.6% against Ohio State, Michigan, and Ole Miss.
Good.
The three best teams they played.
Yeah. Was he 70-plus percent against the other?
65% in the other 10 games last year. Yeah. Right? And
that's such a massive discrepancy.
It is.
Though.
He was a sophomore, though.
That is the Kirk Cousins of college football.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
He was a sophomore. You hope for growth, and you sit there and you say, all right, what does his junior year look like for
Can he process against the teams that have dudes?
Now, you can throw up between Aller and Miller Moss, which Miller Moss we only saw one game of, but Lincoln Riley has raved, and his staff has raved about him. The weapons that are going to be at his disposal are going to be good.
You've got Zach
and
we saw
him in the Holiday Bowl perform at a very high level. So you would probably,
and they didn't go out and chase a quarterback.
They did. He just ended up decommitting and going
somewhere else.
Will Howard?
Yeah, he went to Ohio State. Even then, they didn't chase him in the sense of like going crazy after him. They went after him late. Of like, well, maybe he wants to come here.
So if you want to go, Gabriel 1, Howard 2, Miller Moss, Drew Aller, T3. Then you look at Will Rogers at Washington, mm-hmm. coming from Mississippi State, where last year was an abomination by any measure for Mississippi State. But Will Rogers is a guy that, if you want a guy who has done it before, he started 29 games, I believe, at Mississippi State. You have Jed Fish, who, look at what he did, whether it was Jaden Delora or Noah Fafita, mm-hmm. at Arizona. Like, Noah Fafita
entirely
is
different kinds of quarterback.
Tiny little guy. Jaden Delora is not a big guy. And he maximized those talent. Now, having guys like last year, when you have a guy like Tetrell McMillan,
who might be the third best wide receiver in the country,
pretty damn good and effective. But you can say the quarterback and coach connection, Will Rogers is going to be in that conversation. Throw Aiden Childs in there too, where we know Oregon State fans, we all know the hype around Aiden Childs because it was talked about all season long.
And when he did get on the field in those limited opportunities, you saw the flashes. I genuinely think that if he had done one smidgen more when he had been on the field, Jonathan Smith could have pulled the trigger. Because we heard from multiple people that when you went to practice down there, other players were like, Aiden Childs is him.
It was
he's got it.
The Mariota-esque hype around a guy that was backing up.
He was coming in and you're going, no, this dude has got it. He can absolutely sling it. And remember, he came in that first time in Pac-12 play, well, I think it was like the third drive and threw the touchdown. And you went, oh.
This will the biggest question that I have with Michigan State is, what do their targets look like that he's throwing to?
That's going to be a little dicier. Okay.
You can throw in into that conversation as well a guy like Dylan Raiola at Nebraska, which is a 5-star recruit. He's one of the most highly touted quarterbacks in last year's recruiting cycle. They're going to throw him to the Wolves, but is the receiving core at Nebraska going to be ready to kind of be up to snuff with that? I'll throw Tyler Van Dyke in there as well, the Wisconsin quarterback, where you're in Phil Longo's hybrid air raid, where they have not fully committed to an air raid type offense, but the principles are there. And
what about Dylan Raiola?
He had a great year last year. Well, that's
the question mark.
Yeah, and his weapons. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. We will see. And also, when you look at pedigree for winning football games against really damn good teams too, freshmen don't do that.
No.
That is it right there. Is that
even the stepping best of them.
Even redshirt freshmen, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to step in unless you have a wealth of talent at the receiver position surrounding them. It is really hard for a freshman to come in and play at that level. So that is the question mark, because Matt Rhule has done a really good job of improving the roster in Lincoln. But is Raiola the guy who can come in right away and make a huge jump? I don't think so, because of the fact that the top tier teams in the Big Ten are just that damn good. And that, look, you can say the same thing. I think we will have an evolving conversation around Michigan and Alex Orji because of the fact that you have a first-year head coach and more. You have 18 guys that were drafted off that roster from a year ago.
He's not going to be asked to carry the burden that offense for the first 4 weeks
but
of the season.
But I believe that is where that conversation, that narrative, when we're talking about the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten, he probably will be in that conversation near the end of the year because of the fact that they have a solid run game and they have one of the best running backs in college football.
If not the best.
That you can lean on, and it takes a lot of that pressure off him. Yeah. You have eyes in the box that are not going to be on, you know, the passing game out the gate. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to learn really quick, though, and take those strides forward. Good thing with Michigan is that you were up by a lot in a lot of games last year.
And even when you weren't, when you played Ohio State, you had a quarterback who everybody talks about. He's so good. You know, he's just being held back. You know, here's the thing about Michigan and quarterbacks in the Big Ten. This is something maybe it's a bias. I don't know. But when I look at this conference, good to great quarterbacks, no matter what your style is, you let them do what they do.
Yeah.
And I watched J.J. McCarthy last year, and I was like, oh, his completion percentage was great. Like, he threw the ball 13 times a game, like in the games that mattered. Michigan, what did they do when they played Ohio State?
Ran the damn ball.
And then ran it some more, and then ran it some more, and then ran it some more.
Yeah.
And even with all those guys going to the NFL, they're going to do exactly the same thing. They're not going to, like, you know what, Alex Orji, we need you to win a game.
Just look at the games where Moore was the head coach for. Penn State, anybody? They did not throw the ball in the second half.
What did they throw the ball seven times?
They didn't throw it
the entire second half. Yeah.
They just said, we are going to run the damn ball down your throat.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. And Orji is... He's athletic too, man. He is.
I think he's going to shine.
He's like 6'3", 240.
And he moves.
And that is, there's a dynamic there. But then, I mean, once you get past that top four or five, I mean, those are the best teams in the conference as well. The drop-off is significant.
And it's not even just this year. The thing for me kind of going forward is there's going to need to be a kind of come to Jesus change stylistically in the Big Ten where, yes, it matters to recruit in the trenches, and it will always matter across the best of college football. But you look at the quarterbacks that have come out of the Big Ten, with the exception of Ohio State quarterbacks. If you want to keep up, heaven forbid that Oregon makes this normal for them in the recruiting classes being top five all the time. UW comes back. USC comes back, because the UW-USC ones, they're going to get the skill guys. You know that's going to happen. You know they're going to get quarterbacks. If they start getting trenches again, guess what? You're not going to be able to keep up with their skill guys.
No.
You're not going to be able to keep up with their quarterback play. And that's the thing, is I wonder what stylistically the addition of these teams does to that conference. Because I think, while, yes, it opens up the recruiting pool for the Big Ten to go into California and steal some of those guys, the change at the quarterback position and the philosophical development of your program, it's not going to change instantly, but it does have to change, because you might not be able to play 17-7 anymore. Because you just don't have the quarterbacks to go against
those days are gone, because of the leaps that Ohio State, Michigan, and look, we can criticize Penn State all we want, but that's where they kill teams in the Big Ten outside of Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah.
Right? Is they get into shootouts and they go. You look at the teams that have been disruptors in the Big Ten historically. It was Purdue. Mm-hmm.
With the quarterback play.
Where you had wide-ranging offense that stretched you both vertically and underneath, mostly. But guys like Drew Brees coming out of Purdue.
What was the transfer they brought in last year?
Last year they have Hudson Card. Card from Texas. But he is, and they just have a talent gap.
Yes, and everywhere else.
And that is where I think that's going to be the biggest thing that we see in the Big Ten, is there is a significant drop off between the top, and it is more pronounced. Like in the Pac-12, it was like two or three teams maybe that you have that. If you look at the Big Ten this year and the talent gaps between the top and the bottom, just because of how good the top teams have recruited,
just say the top
in 5 year cycles,
because there's 16, the top eight versus the 18. Bottom eight. The top nine. You get through that top nine, and even then at nine, it gets a little dicey. But the drop-off is so drastic.
Indiana, Northwestern, Illinois even. You've got Minnesota, which row the boat. It was working for a minute.
Sure.
And they have one of the best offensive linemen in college football.
And they will be able to run the ball, but
they have a talent gap. UCLA is in this talent gap, too, where you want to talk about those haves and the have-nots. Mm-hmm. It is a chasm between those two. Purdue is in that as well, where it was a shot when their coach goes home and Jeff Brohm goes from Purdue to Louisville. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were trending upwards, and then as quickly as it went up, it looks like it is spun back down. And the interesting one for me is that you have a few teams in the middle, like Rutgers, Maryland, and Michigan State with Jonathan Smith, where Mike Locksley was a disaster at the beginning, because he took over an absolute dumpster fire of a program at Maryland. They got to his younger brother, who has graduated, and he's moved on.
Look, he was slinging it for 4 years.
But they had a progression for it, and you could see Locksley kind of settled in. Greg Schiano at Rutgers, they're having some of the best recruiting classes that they have ever had, and the best since, I don't know, Greg Schiano was there before. Those kind of three teams that are, and now, you know what, we could put Washington in there too, because of the defections that they had to the NFL draft. Kalen DeBoer leaves. You bring in Jed Fish, who is a damn fine coach,
has
done a great job recruiting and taking over a program at Arizona that was in a worse position than a lot of these Big Ten programs were when he took the helm at Arizona. And you have these teams where you sit there and you look at it in 3 years. Can they join that conversation of being more stable? But we're still a couple of years away from each of those programs being right there and catching up with the top end of the Big Ten conference. The bottom is a lot bigger than it was in the Pac-12. It's a lot. The chasm is gotten far bigger than it was just a handful of years ago between the haves and the have-nots, even in the Big Ten prior to the additions. But I think you're right when you look at the fact that quarterback play, whether it is Oregon, USC, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, it's far different than the other schools in the conference right now. I also think, like, I'll go back to it. Washington is not going to be nearly as good as they were last year.
No.
They are not going to be a road apple. They are very well coached. Stevie Belichick, their defensive coordinator, comes from the New England Patriots.
He's a lunatic, but he's a hell of a coach.
The big gamble there is, are those guys going to be able to recruit? We know Jed Fish can, and that's a hell of a guy to have as your lead recruiter. Yeah,
the number 17 class in the country right now.
But, and it's picking up steam.
Yeah.
Like, they are going to be okay. But will it be enough to be in the upper echelon this year? I don't think it will be.
But in 2 years?
In
3 years?
They are going to be there.
When things settle down for them? Because, look, it's too hard to say any coach won't leave. I think Fish is going to be a guy who does stay there for a while because the stepping stone from UW to another school, it has to kind of be like what DeBoer did. Like how many jobs are vertical jobs from UW in the country? 15?
Yeah, probably.
15?
Yeah.
So there's not that many.
No, it's in.
It can happen, certainly.
The big gamble with Jed Fish is will one of those 15 come calling and how fast does that happen? Because he has been a guy who
he's a jumper. Yes.
He's a jumper. And that's who he has always been. He's saying that he's not now, but
if one of those better jobs comes open, then you take it. Yeah.
And that's who Jed Fish has always been. It's always been a progression moving forward. What UW can lean on though is, hey, we played in a national championship game just this past year.
And even with all that talent gone, they can They're already, like I said, the number 17 class in the country.
It's a weird dynamic in the Big Ten right now when you look at the tiers of the teams that are stable at head coach and have very talented rosters. That list is very short with Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State, right? Then you have, okay, Michigan is kind of in no man's land where their roster is
Still good,
really damn good, but we don't know anything about their coach and their staff because of how much left with Jim Harbaugh to go to the Chargers. Then you have USC, which is in a weird kind of no man's land of their own. And you can throw them in with Iowa and Kirk Ferentz, where you go, we have really good proven head coaches, but the other side of the ball cannot be figured out and has been an absolute embarrassment. Offensively for Iowa, defensively for USC.
Yeah.
Can they figure that out? Because they had wide-ranging changes on both of the sides of the ball for those staffs. And then you have the, all right, it's time to kind of put up or shut up when you're thinking of Wisconsin is in a different kind of range because Luke Fickell is entering year two, and this is going to be a year where they feel that they're going to be competitive in a lot of football games. They're just not there recruiting-wise. And then you have that very well-coached, but needs the rosters to catch up. That's Nebraska, Washington, Rutgers, Maryland, and Michigan State. This first year in the Big Ten is going to be really damn exciting because of all those factors at play. And it all comes back to the most important position in sports. How stable are you at quarterback?
All right, we're going to keep things on college football as College Football 25, the video game, has taken over the world. This is just outstanding work by CBS Sports. We got to have some fun with the audio when we get back here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. Remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Quick little news update from the Big Ten Media Days, which we will start tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And then go Wednesday.
Yeah.
And Thursday.
Yeah.
We have who from Oregon on Thursday?
On Thursday, it appears the tentative schedule, which means this all will be thrown out the door once everything gets going.
Yeah.
Because we are going to be taking over. We're blowing out the herd with Colin Cowherd on Wednesday and Thursday as part of Big Ten Media Days. Thursday's when the Oregon Ducks will be coming through. Our tentative schedule will have Terrence Ferguson at 10:15, Jeffrey Bossa at 10:30, Dylan Gabriel at 10:45. Dan Lanning will be on with Dirt and Sprague at 9:45, right before they hand over to us. But if things get pushed back, Dan Lanning,
which they will,
somewhere between 9:45 and 10 o'clock.
I'm interested in the morning to talk to Bossa. I'm going to see how much he weighs now.
Dude bought it, a truckload now. Dude's body he
went from 190
changed
to 230.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's up near the 240s now.
I was actually talking to my buddy Donnie over the weekend, and he was like, Jeffrey Bossa in the spring game looked like a completely different human being. And which, I was like, yeah, especially from 2 years ago when he was playing safety.
Yeah. He told us last year he put on 30 pounds. I was like, 30? That's a lot.
Yeah. To be young again.
Right.
To be young
again.
Well,
I could put on 30 pounds. I did. But it wasn't useful weight. Turns out there's two different ways to put on 30 pounds really easily. Don't move and move a lot.
Dude looks jacked.
Speaking of college football, I've regaled you with my college football 25 updates as my Houston Cougars are pushing along. CBS Sports' Chris Hassel did a live version.
Beautiful.
That was just the rendition of what it looks like if college football 25, the video game, was real.
We have breaking news. Nebraska just rage quit the Cotton Bowl. Quarterback Arch Manning has transferred to Sam Houston State. The dynasty continues. Akron has completed an historic 10-peat. Texas A&M accidentally simmed their Week 3 game,
Danny,
and lost.
Yep,
look
that
to
happened
bounce back next week. Carson Beck has been benched after pressing square when he meant to press circle. Northeast Arkansas Community College has defeated Alabama. Congratulations to the Delta Dogs. The pursuit of Toledo head coach Mom Spaghetti 420 is heating up. His revolutionary four-verts offense has taken the nation by storm. ACC powerhouse UNLV and reigning SEC champion Idaho are believed to be the front runners. Once again, Utah State proving why they're known as Heisman U. Fans are calling last night's Rose Bowl an instant classic after the game ended with a user pick and a broken controller. Mm. The noon kickoff has been delayed by a system update. And you better get comfortable because that download speed is horrendous. Mm. Handsome Squidward has won his third straight Heisman Trophy. Coach Prime has been bested on the recruiting trail yet again by his arch nemesis, Coach Booger Brains McGee. Actually, we're getting word now that Coach Booger Brains just suffered a major power outage. And he hadn't hit save since last season, so forget everything I just said.
That all sounds about right, because I did accidentally hit the sim button, and who did I lose to? I lost to a team I had no—oh, Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
I
thought it was Arizona State.
It happened again.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
It happened again.
God bless you. Look,
when you're on the recruiting trail hard at night, sometimes you lose track and you hit the wrong button on the wrong spot, and then you take an L to a team you shouldn't.
God. You know, those are dems the breaks when you're a head coach. Those are the head coaching responsibilities you got to have. You need to have a better general manager of your program, which I just saw that. I think it was Rutgers just re-upped their GM, and they're going to make him like one of the highest paid GMs in college football, because that is a role now. And people really need to get familiar with the fact that that is a position in college football. And the importance of it, it's immeasurable right now. I mean, the world of recruiting, the portal, NIL, it is so valuable.
10, 20 years from now, we'll treat GMs in college football the same way we do in college basketball, to be honest, the same way we do professional GMs in the NFL and NBA. What's interesting is I was talking to a couple general managers at Las Vegas, and I wasn't talking to them about transactions or other stuff or like the normal stuff that we talk about. I was like, what do you guys do when it's not transaction season? Like, what's a day-to-day for? Like, I talked to a couple that were taking meetings in Las Vegas. And they weren't taking meetings with agents about players or other teams and talking about trades. They were taking meetings about their medical staffs. They were taking meetings on potential innovations that they can do within their staff. Like, different tech companies and different medical companies that have different weightlifting supplement, like structural type companies hell, a company that develops underwater training pools. Like, there's a million different things that fall under the purview of being a general manager. And everybody thinks, oh, it's about roster building. Like, that's like 25% of it. You've got to worry about hiring coaches and hiring athletic trainers and hiring medical staff and managing a billion other things. And that's just like the start of the year. The rest of the time, you're putting out fires.
Yep.
Like, a player's wife gets in a car accident at 12:30 in the morning and in a place where they probably shouldn't be. And you have to help them get home because that player's freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, it's the stuff that happens endlessly. Or, I don't know, your players get pulled over driving a yellow Hummer. And the entire team bus drives by them and sees them pulled over. And you have to deal with the press and the police. All the stupid stuff that comes up with that. All right, but coming up next, we will dive back into more quarterback play, but it's on the NFL side. Some news and notes around the NFL. Quarterbacks that aren't playing, quarterbacks that are getting more weapons, and quarterbacks that are taking over teams that maybe shouldn't.
Camp is here, everybody.
Rejoice. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with the Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
NFL camp is upon us as we're approaching July rapidly. Some news and notes all related to quarterbacks. First of all, the quarterback that's not there. Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love is not playing until he gets a new deal, which I think is becoming SOP at this point in time. Don't risk it for the biscuit.
Yeah, but this time it was Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the, or the president? No, general manager of the Green Bay Packers. He came out and he's the one that said it. He said, he reported, he's here.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not going to let him play until he gets until he gets his deal done, which that's always code for we're very close.
Yeah.
We are very close to,
so don't
to
screw
reaching
it up.
The end. And if you have an injury that happens at practice during that time, then all of a sudden you get into the insurance aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where his money can go away just as quickly as it got there for him. And the team can say, oh, no, we made a horrible decision.
He tears his Achilles and all of a sudden
That changes dramatically.
This is the same thing we're talking about with Jamal Murray and the Denver Nuggets and him not signing his deal while he's playing for Team Canada.
But this all kind of feels as if they are very close. Yeah. And everything that Jordan Love has done since he took over for Aaron Rodgers, he has been steady and he has been solid for them. Last year, the growth that you saw out of Jordan Love was immeasurable, and it looks like Green Bay found their quarterback.
Again.
I mean, they're going to go until like 2032 without having a different quarterback.
They're going to go 60 years of the quarterbacks.
They're going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers of coaches? Quarterbacks. Like they, what the Steelers are out of coaching, the Packers are going to be for quarterback play. And it's amazing that they've had that eye on development and talent, and they've been able to squeeze.
Favre was 94.
That much. 93 or 92, he got traded from Atlanta to Green Bay.
So, and then he had the.
I think it might have been. I think it was 93 is when he took over.
So they're going to go 30 plus years with three quarterbacks.
Yeah. And.
And have a legitimate chance to push it to 40
without like I mean and obviously we remember start. Matt Flynn yes. everybody
but I mean but as far as like
stability man yes. and who your guy is it's incredible what they've been able
years,
to go through
three quarterbacks on the table
1992 for old Brett Favre
yeah
so they're at 33 years
that's amazing
for three quarterbacks.
That would be stability, Bob. And meanwhile, look, they've done it the way that nobody else wants to do it, which is you have your guy and you draft somebody
mm-hmm. in early. Yeah.
And you sit there and you go,
maybe the Falcons aren't dumb. Them. Nah.
I mean, drafting Michael Penix.
Not dumb.
Not dumb at all.
No.
Not dumb at all. But
paying Kirk Cousins that money? Probably. So that's the news out of the Packers camp. Keeping it in the NFC
and
North.
Schefter saying he may be the highest paid quarterback ever.
Which
next guy up, I think that may be a little steep, but if he's going to be your guy for the next 10 years.
But the thing is also the Packers notoriously don't do that.
Yeah.
So I have, look, Schefter's as plugged in as it gets, but until that happens, I have a hard time seeing
paying the freight. Paying the freight when you're the next guy.
But even then, the Packers still haven't.
It'll be.
There's always been something in the language. It's like, not quite.
Yeah, with the quarterbacks, though, they have. Yeah. I mean, they gave Rodgers a butt ton of money.
Well, he also had multiple MVPs at that time.
Yeah, buddy.
So, it's not that Jordan Love is unproven. It's just that he's not that proven.
Yeah.
I think there's levels to it. Keeping in the NFC North, the Vikings, after using that draft pick, as we talked about when the Big Ten quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, appear to be going with another quasi-Big Ten quarterback? He played in the Pac-12. But Sam Darnold, old Big Head, is going to be taking the reps of the first team.
Look, I think that this is expected. It's kind of what the Minnesota Vikings were signaling through the entirety of the draft process. And when they drafted J.J. McCarthy and they brought him in, it was, no, we also have Sam Darnold. We're going to let McCarthy grow and develop as we see fit. I think the bigger issue there with Minnesota camp is T.J. Hockenson is still recovering from a torn ACL he suffered in December. Yeah, they put him on the PUP list to start camp.
His knee went backwards?
That, I mean, they say he's still well ahead of schedule. When you get him, I think you're also going to see J.J. McCarthy getting more reps. Kevin O'Connell, the head coach, said, hey, we're going to give McCarthy reps with the first team because we drafted him 10th overall. Mm. We're going to give him that chance and that opportunity. But I don't think you start seeing that ramp up until they have T.J. Hockenson healthy because he's your safety blanket for your quarterback. And having a young quarterback, you want to have a tight end that can be that outlet. You know you're going to be good on the outside with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. You're going to be really damn good in the backfield as well. But what you need is that safety blanket with T.J. Hockenson. Hopefully he's able to go sometime soon because he is a fun-ass player to watch. Iowa.
Yeah, no, I mean Iowa tight ends. It's the one exciting thing out of that team. Like they love them some tight ends. On other quarterback news, the greatest quarterback on the planet got another weapon. Patrick Mahomes gets Xavier Worthy, and guess what? They're doing things because apparently giving Patrick Mahomes a wide receiver that runs a 4.2/1.40 is problematic.
That highlight that we saw of Mahomes just getting loose and just throwing it up there, mm-hmm. and the DB looking helpless, trying to chase
what
after
do I
Xavier
do
Worthy.
This
they are going to be scary, and this is what I was talking about throughout the draft process last year. When you have 13 guys with a first round grade at wide receiver alone, the teams at the back end of the first round who have established quarterbacks, the rich will get richer. And look no further than the Kansas City Chiefs going, oh, we can have a cheap young speedster that's going to force defenses to take eyes off of Travis
Everyone
Kelce.
Else.
Oh, weird. And make no mistake, where he was lined up in that highlight, he was lined up in the slot,
mm-hmm.
right? So he's taking a safety out. So guess who can operate in the middle of the field? Number 87.
Mm. We've seen this before with a guy named Tyreek Hill.
And look, that's the chess match.
It's the same kind of speed.
It's the chess match that Andy Reid loves to play, which is we are going to put your safeties in a bind. We are going to force you guys to take the lesser of two evils. Mm-hmm. And the lesser of two evils for every defense is deep. Mm-hmm. They always have the confidence we can rally to anything underneath. We are going to force you vertically. And now that you can unlock this with Xavier Worthy, if he's lined up in the slot, it's a mismatch, no matter who is defending him, because you don't have anybody that has that kind of speed.
The interesting thing is, watching this clip a few times, the hilarious part is Mahomes underthrows him.
Yeah.
He's got to slow down for it.
Yep. And he still had a step.
He still had a step on him.
Pretty good problem to have.
Yeah. You sit here and watch it. You're like, he's got three steps on him, and then he doesn't. All right. When we come back, a little more NFL quarterback notes as one owner falls on the sword. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Cincinnati Bengals have been a tire fire for quite some time, and it's pretty much coincided with ownership.
You know what? They figured it out.
The figuring it out means drafting a generational quarterback and having him solve all your problems. Sure, certainly.
And then a generational wide receiver and hiring a competent head coach and your owner getting out of the way of being a cheap ass.
Which... he got out of the way in that vein, but Mike Brown says today in an interview that he got in the way last year and he feels stupid about it.
One day at practice, you picked up Joe Burrow on your golf cart and you drove him around practice and then took him back. Do you remember that conversation and what was said there? And also, what is your relationship like in general with Joe Burrow?
I try to stay away enough that I don't get in the way. I don't want to be a problem for the coaches. In that particular moment, I overstepped and did a dumb thing. I was convinced he shouldn't play, and he looked like he wanted to play in that game, and I went out there to tell him he wasn't going to play. I was going to make sure he wasn't going to play, whereupon he played. And so that's all that happened. I still feel a little bit shamefaced about it.
If you're wondering, that man sounds like he's 90 years old because he's 88 years old. That's 88-year-old Mike Brown talking about how he told Joe Burrow he wasn't going to play, and then Joe Burrow played. It's kind of interesting that the owner said no, and yet he still played.
Yeah, well, that is Mike Brown to a T, is that I was going to go out there and tell him you're not going out there, Pally. And Joe Burrow's like, yeah, no, you pay me a lot of money. I want to go out. I want to win, and I'll be damned if Joe Burrow didn't probably throw for 300 yards that day.
The interesting thing there is, as a coach and a general manager, to tell your owner no.
Yeah. Well, it's the training staff, and that's where you can always lean back on is training staff to overrule the owner.
Overruled the owner?
He could say, no, he's going to play. And old Joey B, he's got that dog in him, man. And that's the biggest difference with the Cincinnati Bengals is, you said it, getting the generational quarterback, it doesn't matter. Like, look at Brady and Kraft, right?
It papers over everything.
That guy will be able to tell the owner whatever the hell he wants to, because he is the franchise. And anytime you have an owner who can't get out of his own way, like Mike Brown, having that quarterback that can slide in, and like Dallas doesn't have that guy, and Jerry Jones is still getting in the way.
I saw somebody tweet out today that the possible extensions that are out there for top tier players, and Dak Prescott was listed, and I audibly guffawed.
Well, you're going to do it when he gets his deal.
You think they're going to pay him?
I don't think they're going to pay him this offseason. Somebody will do it.
What was I saying? Their extension.
Somebody will do
please
it.
Please not the Raiders. Please not the Raiders. Please not the Raiders.
Dak Prescott, your starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Please, God, no.
They don't have a quarterback. They need one.
I'd rather be quarterbackless.
You'd rather go out?
I'd rather just...
Would you rather have another year with Jimmy G, bring Jimmy G back?
Yes. Yes, because he would not hamstring the franchise for 5 years.
Well, hey, you can have... This year, you get Gardner Minshew, which is going to be a journey. It's going to be an experience. Yeah.
And then you'll have AOC
when the clock strikes midnight, and ultimately it will, because I love Gardner Minshew, but we all know he's got his shelf life.
Yep.
Clock will hit midnight, and you'll go to Aiden O'Connell.
Go to the pumpkin.
And all of a sudden, you will be living in Antonio Pierce quotes that we want to upgrade the quarterback position, but we still have AOC.
To fall back on.
That is going to be a brutal one. You're going to live that life this year, my man.
I'm okay with it. As I asked you during the break, quick, name one player not named Max Crosby on the Raiders defense.
Yeah, and all I came up with, they got a Jones playing corner. I felt good about that.
You weren't wrong. Jack Jones at corner. But yeah,
see,
other than
they
that,
got a Jones playing corner.
It's tough.
Outside of that,
keeping up with the Joneses.
No idea. You got Max Crosby, though.
There you go.
And the great thing about receivers, have you delved into receivers
yet?
I have
not watched it yet. It's on the list.
The relationship between Max Crosby and Davante Adams.
As the only two good players on the team.
But it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
It's tough.
I really appreciated that episode of Receivers there. And the one where Davante Adams went off about Jimmy G trying to kill him.
All right.
That'll do it for us today. Up next, you get 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Primetime with Isaac and Soup. We'll see you tomorrow from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
Bye.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
NFL camp is upon us as we're approaching July rapidly. Some news and notes. All related to quarterbacks. First of all, the quarterback is not there. Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love is not playing until he gets a new deal, which I think is becoming SOP at this point in time. Don't risk it for the biscuit.
Yeah, but this time it was Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the, or the president? No, general manager of the Green Bay Packers. He came out and he's the one that said it. He said, he reported, he's here.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not going to let him play until he gets practice until he gets his deal done, which that's always code for we're very close.
Yeah.
We are very close to,
so don't
to
screw
reaching
it up.
The end. And if you have an injury that happens at practice during that time, then all of a sudden you get into the insurance aspect of it.
And mm-hmm.
that's where his money can go away just as quickly as it got there for him. And the team can say, oh, no, we made a horrible decision.
He tears his Achilles and all of a sudden...
That changes dramatically.
This is the same thing we're talking about with Jamal Murray and the Denver Nuggets and him not signing his deal while he's playing for Team Canada.
But this all kind of feels as if they are very close.
Yeah.
And everything that Jordan Love has done since he took over for Aaron Rodgers, he has been steady and mm-hmm. he has been solid for them. Last year, the growth that you saw out of Jordan Love was immeasurable, and it looks like Green Bay found their quarterback.
Again.
Again. I mean, they're going to go until like 2032 with the without having a different quarterback.
They're going to go 60 years of the three quarterbacks.
They're going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers of coaches. Quarterbacks. Like they, what the Steelers are out of coaching, the Packers are going to be for quarterback play. And it's amazing that they've had that eye on development and talent, and they've been able to squeeze.
Favre was 94.
That much. 93 or 92, he got traded from Atlanta to Green Bay.
So, and then he had the.
I think it might have been. I think it was 93 is when he took over.
So they're going to go 30 plus years with three quarterbacks.
Yeah. And
have a legitimate chance to push it to 40.
Without, like, I mean, and obviously we remember Matt Flynn, everybody.
But I mean, as far as like.
Stability, man, and who your guy is. It's incredible what they've been able to go through.
40 years, three quarterbacks on the table.
1992 for old Brett Favre.
Yeah.
So they're at 33 years.
That's amazing.
For three quarterbacks.
That would be stability, Bob. And meanwhile, look, they've done it the way that nobody else wants to do it, which is you have your guy and you draft somebody early.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you go,
maybe the Falcons aren't dumb. Them. Nah.
I mean, drafting Michael Penix,
not dumb,
not dumb at all.
No,
not dumb at all. But
paying Kirk Cousins that money, probably. So that's the news out of the Packers camp. Keeping it in the NFC
and
North,
Schefter saying he may be the highest paid quarterback ever.
Which
next guy up? I think that may be a little steep. But if he's going to be your guy for the next 10 years,
but the thing is, also the Packers notoriously don't do that.
Yeah.
So I have look. Schefter's as plugged in as it gets. But until that happens, I have a hard time seeing.
Paying the freight when you're the next guy.
But even then, the Packers still haven't.
It'll be.
There's always been something in the language. It's like, not quite.
Yeah. With the quarterbacks, though, they have. Yeah. I mean, they gave Rodgers a butt ton of money.
Well, he also had multiple MVPs at that time.
Yeah, buddy.
So it's not that Jordan Love is unproven. It's just that he's not that proven.
Yeah.
I think there's levels to it. Keeping in the NFC North, the Vikings, after using that draft pick, as we talked about when the Big Ten quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, appear to be going with another quasi-Big Ten quarterback. He played in the Pac-12. But Sam Darnold, old Big Head, is going to be taking the reps to the first team.
Look, I think that this is expected. It's kind of what the Minnesota Vikings were signaling through the entirety of the draft process. And when they drafted J.J. McCarthy and they brought him in, it was, no, we also have Sam Darnold. We're going to let McCarthy grow and develop as we see fit. I think the bigger issue there with Minnesota camp is T.J. Hockenson is still recovering from a torn ACL he suffered in December. Yeah, they put him on the PUP list to start
his
camp.
His knee went backwards?
That, yeah, I mean, they say he's still well ahead of schedule. When you get him, I think you're also going to see J.J. McCarthy getting more reps. Kevin O'Connell, the head coach, said, hey, we're going to give McCarthy reps with the first team because we drafted him 10th overall. Mm. We're going to give him that chance and that opportunity. But I don't think you start seeing that ramp up until they have T.J. Hockenson healthy, because he's your safety blanket for your quarterback. And having a young quarterback, you want to have a tight end that can be that outlet. You know you're going to be good on the outside with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. You're going to be really damn good in the backfield as well. But what you need is that safety blanket with T.J. Hockenson. Hopefully he's able to go sometime soon, because he is a fun-ass player to watch. Iowa.
No, I mean, Iowa tight ends. It's the one exciting thing out of that team. Like they love them some tight ends. On other quarterback news, the greatest quarterback on the planet got another weapon. Patrick Mahomes gets Xavier Worthy, and guess what? They're doing things, because apparently giving Patrick Mahomes a wide receiver that runs a 4.2 140 is problematic.
That highlight that we saw of Mahomes just getting loose and just throwing it up there, mm-hmm. and the DB looking helpless, trying to chase
what
after Xavier Worthy.
This?
They are going to be scary, and this is what I was talking about throughout the draft process last year. When you have 13 guys with a first round grade at wide receiver alone, the teams at the back end of the first round who have established quarterbacks, the rich will get richer. And look no further than the Kansas City Chiefs going, oh, we can have a cheap young speedster that's going to force defenses to take eyes off of Travis
Everyone
Kelce.
Else.
Oh, weird. And make no mistake, where he was lined up in that highlight, he was lined up in the slot,
mm-hmm.
right? So he's taking a safety out. So guess who can operate in the middle of the field? number 87.
We've seen this before with a guy named Tyreek Hill.
That's the chess match.
It's the same kind of speed.
It's the chess match that Andy Reid loves to play, which is we are going to put your safeties in a bind. We are going to force you guys to take the lesser of two evils. Mm-hmm. And the lesser of two evils for every defense is deep. Mm-hmm. They always have the confidence we can rally to anything underneath. We are going to force you vertically. And now that you can unlock this with Xavier Worthy, if he's lined up in the slot, it's a mismatch, no matter who is defending him, because you don't have anybody that has that kind of speed.
The interesting thing is, watching this clip a few times, the hilarious part is Mahomes underthrows him.
Yeah.
He's got to slow down for it.
Yep. And he still had a step.
He still had a step on him.
Pretty good problem to have.
Yeah. You sit here and watch it. You're like, he's got three steps on him, and then he doesn't. All right. When we come back, a little more NFL quarterback notes as one owner falls on the sword. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Cincinnati Bengals have been a tire fire for quite some time, and it's pretty much coincided with ownership.
They figured it out.
The figuring it out means drafting a generational quarterback and having him solve all your problems. Sure, certainly.
And then a generational wide receiver and hiring a competent head coach and your owner getting out of the way of being a cheap ass.
Which... he got out of the way in that vein, but Mike Brown says today in an interview that he got in the way last year and he feels stupid about it.
One day at practice, you picked up Joe Burrow on your golf cart and you drove him around practice and then took him back. Do you remember that conversation and what was said there? And also, what is your relationship like in general with Joe Burrow?
I try to stay away enough that I don't get in the way. I don't want to be a problem for the coaches. In that particular moment, I overstepped and did a dumb thing. I was convinced he shouldn't play, and he looked like he wanted to play in that game, and I went out there to tell him he wasn't going to play. I was going to make sure he wasn't going to play, whereupon he played. And so that's all that happened. I still feel a little bit shamefaced about it.
If you're wondering, that man sounds like he's 90 years old because he's 88 years old. That's 88-year-old Mike Brown talking about how he told Joe Burrow he wasn't going to play, and then Joe Burrow played. It's kind of interesting that the owner said no, and yet he still played.
Yeah, well, that is Mike Brown to a T, is that I was going to go out there and tell him you're not going out there, Pally. And Joe Burrow's like, yeah, no, you pay me a lot of money. I want to go out. I want to win. And I'll be damned if Joe Burrow didn't probably throw for 300 yards that day.
The interesting thing there is, as a coach and a general manager, to tell your owner no.
Yeah. Well, it's the training staff, and that's where you can always lean back on is training staff to overrule the owner.
Overruled the owner?
He could say, no, he's going to play. And old Joey B, he's got that dog in him, man. And that's the biggest difference with the Cincinnati Bengals is, you said it, getting the generational quarterback, it doesn't matter. Like, look at Brady and Kraft, right?
It papers over everything.
That guy will be able to tell the owner whatever the hell he wants to because he is the franchise. And anytime you have an owner who can't get out of his own way, like Mike Brown, having that quarterback that can slide in, and like Dallas doesn't have that guy. Jerry Jones is still getting in the way.
I saw somebody tweet out today that the possible extensions that are out there for top tier players, and Dak Prescott was listed, and I audibly guffawed.
Well, you're going to do it when he gets his deal.
You think they're going to pay him?
I don't think they're going to pay him this offseason. Somebody will do it.
What I'm saying, their extension.
Somebody will do
please
it.
Please not the Raiders. Please not the Raiders. Please not the Raiders.
Dak Prescott, your starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Please, God, no.
They don't have a quarterback. They need one.
I'd rather be quarterbackless.
You'd rather go out?
I'd rather just...
Would you rather have another year with Jimmy G, bring Jimmy G back?
Yes. Yes, because he would not hamstring the franchise for 5 years.
Well, you can have... This year, you get Gardner Minshew, which is going to be a journey. It's going to be an experience. Yeah. AOC when the clock strikes midnight, and ultimately it will, because I love Gardner Minshew, but we all know he's got his shelf life.
Yep.
Clock will hit midnight, and you'll go to Aiden O'Connell.
Go to the pumpkin.
And all of a sudden, you will be living in Antonio Pierce quotes that we want to upgrade the quarterback position, but we still have AOC.
To fall back on.
That is going to be a brutal one. You're going to live that life this year, my man.
I'm okay with it. As I asked you during the break, quick, name one player not named Max Crosby on the Raiders defense.
Yeah, and all I came up with, they got a Jones playing corner. I felt good about that.
You weren't wrong. Jack Jones at corner. But yeah,
see,
other than that,
they got a Jones playing corner.
It's tough.
Outside of that,
keeping up with the Joneses.
No idea. You got Max Crosby, though.
There you go.
And the great thing about the receivers, have you delved into receivers yet?
I have not watched it yet. It's on the list.
The relationship between Max Crosby and Davante Adams.
As the only two good players on the team.
But it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
It's tough.
I really appreciated that episode of Receivers there. And the one where Davante Adams went off about Jimmy G trying to kill him.
All right, bus.
That'll do it for us today. Up next, you get 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Primetime with Isaac and Soup. We'll see you tomorrow from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Cincinnati Bengals have been a tire fire for quite some time, and it's pretty much coincided with ownership.
You know what? They figured it out.
Figuring it out means drafting a generational quarterback and having him solve all your problems. Certainly.
And then a generational wide receiver and hiring a competent head coach and your owner getting out of the way of being a cheap ass.
Which he got out of the way in that vein. But Mike Brown says today in an interview that he got in the way last year and he feels stupid about it.
One day at practice, you picked up Joe Burrow on your golf cart and you drove him around practice and then took him back. Do you remember that conversation and what was said there? And also, what is your relationship like in general with Joe Burrow?
I try to stay away enough that I don't get in the way. I don't want to be a problem for the coaches. In that particular moment, I overstepped and did a dumb thing. I was convinced he shouldn't play, and he looked like he wanted to play in that game, and I went out there to tell him he wasn't going to play. I was going to make sure he wasn't going to play, whereupon he played. And so that's all that happened. I still feel a little bit shamefaced about it.
If you're wondering, that man sounds like he's 90 years old because he's 88 years old. But yeah, that's 88-year-old Mike Brown talking about how he told Joe Burrow he wasn't going to play, and then Joe Burrow played. It's kind of interesting that the owner said no, and yet he still played.
Yeah, well, that is Mike Brown to a T, is that I was going to go out there and tell him you're not going out there, Pally. And Joe Burrow's like, yeah, no, you pay me a lot of money. I want to go out. I want to win. And I'll be damned if Joe Burrow didn't probably throw for 300 yards that day.
The interesting thing there is, as a coach and a general manager, to tell your owner no.
Yeah. Well, it's the training staff. And that's where you can always lean back on is training staff to overrule the owner.
Overruled the owner?
He could say, no, he's going to play. And old Joey B, he's got that dog in him, man. And that's the biggest difference with the Cincinnati Bengals is, you said it, getting the generational quarterback, it doesn't matter. Like, look at Brady and Kraft, right?
It papers over everything.
That guy will be able to tell the owner whatever the hell he wants to because he is the franchise. And anytime you have an owner who can't get out of his own way, like Mike Brown, having that quarterback that can slide in, and Dallas doesn't have that guy. Jerry Jones is still getting in the way.
I saw somebody tweet out today that the possible extensions that are out there for top tier players, and Dak Prescott was listed, and I audibly guffawed.
Well, you're going to do it when he gets his deal.
You think they're going to pay him?
I don't think they're going to pay him this offseason. Somebody will do it.
What's I'm saying? Their extension.
Somebody will do
please
it.
Please not the Raiders. Please not the Raiders. Please not the Raiders.
Dak Prescott, your starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Please, God, no.
They don't have a quarterback. They need one.
I'd rather be quarterbackless.
You'd rather go out?
I'd rather just...
Would you rather have another year with Jimmy G, bring Jimmy G back?
Yes. Yes, because he would not hamstring the franchise for 5 years.
Well, hey, you can have... This year, you get Gardner Minshew, which is going to be a journey. It's going to be an experience. Yeah. And then you'll have AOC when the clock strikes midnight, and ultimately it will, because I love Gardner Minshew, but we all know he's got his shelf life.
Yep.
Clock will hit midnight, and you'll go to Aiden O'Connell.
Go to the pumpkin.
And all of a sudden, you will be living in Antonio Pierce quotes that we want to upgrade the quarterback position, but we still have AOC.
To fall back on.
That is going to be a brutal one. You're going to live that life this year, my man.
I'm okay with it. As I asked you during the break, quick, name one player not named Max Crosby on the Raiders defense.
Yeah, and all I came up with, they got a Jones playing corner. I felt good about that.
You weren't wrong. Jack Jones at corner, but yeah.
See,
other than that,
they got a Jones playing corner.
It's tough.
Outside of that,
keeping up with the Joneses.
No idea. You got Max Crosby, though.
There you go.
And the great thing about the receivers, have you delved into receivers yet?
I have not watched it yet. It's on the list.
The relationship between Max Crosby and Devontae Adams.
As the only two good players on the team.
But it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
It's tough.
I really appreciated that episode of Receivers there. And the one where Devontae Adams went off about Jimmy G trying to kill him.
Through all right, bus.
That'll do it for us today. Up next, you get 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Primetime with Isaac and Soup. We'll see you tomorrow from noon to three right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.